Patrick's introduction is very generous, extremely generous. And I remember one of my mentors, a remarkable preacher, who was telling us about wonderful people that had introduced him. And he said something like this in response to a very generous introduction, just as I've had since I walked in. And his name is John Wilson. So John said to the one who had introduced him, he said, "My brother, I forgive you for an extravagant introduction." And then he turned and he said, "And Lord, forgive me for enjoying it." Thanks, Patrick. I'm truly delighted to be here among you, and I want to praise the Lord very much for the opportunity to be among you again. Theodora sends her love and greetings, and frankly, this is one place she would have loved to be at this time, and so she sends her love and her greetings to you. And yes, those 5 years of ministry among you were simply some of our richest years, because you were such a blessing to us. And so it's truly a joy to be back among you. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And any of you who remembers those times, I would say, peace be with you. And your response is a loud hallelujah. And remember, the Bible says, lifting up holy hands to the Lord. And I know for some of us, they don't feel holy, but that's okay. You came to church for cleansing. Hallelujah. So when I say, peace be with you, lift up your hands and say, shout hallelujah. Is that okay? Peace be with you. Hallelujah. Now you can be louder and this is okay. Peace be with you. Hallelujah. Peace be with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The word for today, continuing the studies that you have been doing in the book of Acts, is to the nations, to the nations. And I'm really delighted to be able to come during a time when you're focusing on one of those amazing books in the Bible that tells us the story of how all that happened, how it happened to the nations. And I am delighted that each one of us is invited to be part of that amazing story of what God is doing. Each one of us, each one of us. And what a joy to be among you to proclaim this word to you. And so if you please turn with me to the passage, which is where we will stay in the book of Acts, the story of how it all happened, the Acts of the Apostles, or even better put, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The first number of chapters up to chapter 15, you know the story is focused around Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And from chapter 15, we begin to see how that happened indeed to the ends of the earth. And here, in this particular story that we look at, is the breaking of the new frontier, Europe. How did it happen? How did the gospel come to Europe the very first time? How did it come to your ancestors in Europe? And how did that gospel come? And so we really are looking at something happened historically. This is what happened. You know, the Christian faith is a historic faith. It's a faith that takes history seriously. The Christian faith takes history seriously. Jesus was born in a historical period during the reign of Caesar Augustus. You know, the Christian faith takes history seriously. So it is important that we take seriously how it all happened so we can learn ourselves how it is we continue the same story, because it is the same story, as we'll be able to see as we share from this word. So Paul and his companions, this is a story of how God did it through Paul and his companions. And they were traveling throughout the region, having come through Palestine, the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So the first thing to say, it's by the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is very consistent, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. I'm sure you remember the words of Prophet Zechariah. It's not by power. It's not by might. It is by the Spirit of God. Remember the words of Jesus. Tarry, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come. For you will then receive the power and you will be my witnesses. Brothers and sisters, it is by the Holy Spirit. And so here we see again how the Holy Spirit does it. How does he do it? He does it through people. There is an amazing here interaction between Paul and his companions and the Holy Spirit that is very telling. So Paul is in this particular region traveling. The purpose? To proclaim Jesus. To proclaim Jesus, the historical figure that had manifested, who he now knew was the Christ. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Wait a moment. Did we read that correctly? That the Holy Spirit kept Paul from preaching the word? Yeah, absolutely. That Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they just went through because the Holy Spirit stopped them from preaching the gospel in the southwest. So they just went through. The Holy Spirit stopped them? Yes, he did. He did. I wonder how they determined that the Holy Spirit had stopped them. And your imagination is as good as mine. I don't know whether there were border crossings. I do not think that they had been denied a visa or something like that. But it's very clear, whatever happened, Paul and his companions concluded clearly, the Holy Spirit does not want us to go to Asia. It was in the southeast. And so they decided, okay, Lord, if this is not going to be, so I want to suggest that there may have been a kind of physical obstacle of sorts. We do not know what it was. Certainly it wasn't illness, but something that stopped them. And they determined that this which stopped them was the work of the Holy Spirit. So, in today's language, I would say they were denied a visa. And they concluded the denial of the visa by the authorities is not the work of man, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul and his companions concluded God must be about something else. We had planned to go to Asia, but clearly God does not want us to go to Asia. So, Lord, what do you want? So they go through the province of Phrygia and Galatia. So they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia to the northwest. Again, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Sometimes I wonder whether Paul had a strategy committee, that they sat together and decided, logically, from Antioch, moving on, having visited the churches, delivering the message from the apostles, as you know, in chapter 15, I think they had a strategy, a mission strategy. I haven't checked. Do you have a mission strategy now?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Okay. So they had a mission strategy. Please clap for him. Yeah, absolutely. You know, he leads us by strategy. But wait a moment. So Paul's strategy and team was first to go to Asia. And logically, it made sense. But the Holy Spirit stops them from going to Asia. Then the next logical location is to the northeast. Absolutely, makes sense. If you think about the geography of that region, honestly, it made sense. So Paul's strategy informed him that if not Asia, then surely it must be Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. Let me ask you, you have built a strategy. Maybe it is in your business, and you know you have alternative A and there is alternative B, right? Usually there's not a C, but some of you go to C. And A has failed, B has failed, and even C has failed. How do you feel? You've made an investment in A. It didn't work. You made an investment in B. It didn't work. It's all energy. How do you feel at the end of that? Anybody tell us? Discouraged? You feel like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And I think that Paul and his companions were in that place of wondering, of thinking, okay, Lord, what honestly are you up to? We thought it made sense to go to Asia. We thought it made logical sense. And we thought, Lord, you were going to open the doors for us to go to the Northeast. But Lord, that's not happened. Clearly, this is not just visas being denied. Clearly, this is not, this is your work. So what do you want us to do? I wonder whether Paul and his companions then called for a prayer meeting. But maybe in the prayer, even there, they couldn't work out what it all was. So anyway, discouraged, thanks be to God for sleep. So he goes to bed in Troas. During the night, verse 9, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. I wonder whether this simply began as a dream. Have you ever gone through a dream that you wake up and you hope it is not true? Or the other one, which you really hope it is true, right? I'm sure you've gone through those two. You know, the one where you hope it's not true. So I wonder whether this is simply how it happened. Paul goes to bed, discouraged, wondering, thinking, Lord, what are you up to? Where do you want us to go? And then a dream. And it's so graphic. And I mean, it's so clear. This man stands by. Come over to Macedonia. The call is very clear. I wonder whether Paul wakes up and he does, ouch. Did I hear right? Is this God speaking to me? Having failed to go to Asia, having failed, is the Lord saying something here? I have a proposal here in reading this text. That Paul maybe waited for dawn, got his friends up and said to them, guys, I had a dream. I don't know what to make of it. Remember what happened yesterday, the other day, this week? We were all confused. But can you believe I had this dream and there was a man standing and Paul says, you know, it was so clear. It was so clear. And Paul says, you know what, brothers? I don't know, maybe it was a vision. Do you think God was speaking to us? I actually believe that's what happened. Why do I say that? Because if you look in that passage, after Paul had seen the vision, verse 10, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Concluding. Here is the way of the discernment of the Spirit of God. How God speaks. It's amazing how God speaks through circumstances. So, I talked about the denial of visas or other physical, geographical circumstances that happen. So, Paul, through certain circumstances, is unable and his companions to go to Asia. He is unable with his companions to go to the Northeast. And through a real speaking, a manifestation, in a miraculous moment, it's very, very clear. So God speaks through visions. Yes, he does. But how does Paul and his companions conclude it is the Lord? They consult together. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There is a way in which the Spirit of Christ is present when we are together, in a way in which he is not when you are just by yourselves. when you're just by yourself. So the body of Christ as the community of listening, of discerning what the Spirit of God says. So they together concluded that this is what the Spirit of God wanted them to do. So it is by the Spirit. It's not our mission strategies. No, it isn't. It is the Holy Spirit. Because this work is the Spirit's work. Because this work began with God. In the beginning, God. Hallelujah. And then you come to the Gospels. For God so loved the world that he gave. It wasn't our initiative. No, it is his. We did not even know that as sinners, we needed a savior. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The initiative is with God. And I think we need to get this very clear. It's not our strategies, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The challenge, therefore, is to listen to the Holy Spirit. The challenge is the challenge of discerning what it is the Lord wants with us in order for us to participate in what it is that God is doing. So this needs to be very clear. Mission is not our work. Mission is God's work, and God will do it. But how does he want to do it? He wants to do it in us and through us, with us. The challenge, therefore, for us is to be able to discern the voice of God. I fear, sadly, that most churches spend days and days on end simply thinking mission strategy. Simply thinking, what is it that makes logic? And yes, this is not to say you mustn't, because very clearly, God used their strategic thinking, because it is as they sought to follow their strategy that God kept them, you know, reorganizing them, reworking them, realigning them to his purpose. You see what God is doing with us, friends? God is in the process of realigning us as a community of believers, also as individuals, to be realigned through various processes to his purposes, so that you and I may be involved in fulfilling God's purpose for the nations. The challenge for you and I is therefore to listen. I think there is something God is saying to this church. Because during the week, those who were able to come on Tuesday and Wednesday, you remember the message. The challenge to us is to listen. So I wonder what God is saying to us here at Christ Church in this time, at this stage, in this season as a church. Maybe to listen more. So that you are able to confidently, when you step out, you will be bold, knowing this is not Christ Church Anglican. No, this is not. It is the Holy Spirit. And your job is obedience. So here comes then the second. So the first, it's by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, our task is the task of discernment, the task of listening. And Paul does it in amazing ways. He does it together with the believers. And then thirdly, therefore, obedience. Because we see here, after Paul had seen the vision, once God had spoken, we got ready at once. We obeyed the orders. We were ready to go. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's interesting how this is explained. It does not say concluding that God had sent us. Did you notice that? It says concluding God had called us. So where is God calling them from? God is already in Macedonia. He is calling them. The places God invites us. Actually, this is a very important paradigm in mission thinking. I have argued elsewhere that part of the tragedy in missions today is the go paradigm, Go ye into all the world. Go, go. And so we think it is us who go, it is us who take Jesus. No. Yes, that is true. There is absolutely the biblical imperative, go. But actually, if you read that particular, go ye into all, you know, proclaim the good news, it is actually as you go, as you go. And it seems to me there is something we missed out, the invitation. That God is inviting us into his purposes, inviting us into his work, inviting us to be participants with what it is he is doing. This is God's invitation to us. Friends, come over. I'm encouraged to hear that the Lord is prompting you as a church to be able to go places. I hope you hear that prompting, not just as a commissioning to send, but as an invitation to come. To go to places where God already is at work. Because it is God's work. And you see it very clearly. Paul and his colleagues, they proceed from Troas. They are very clear. The next stop is Europe. So they travel to Philippi, a Roman colony. This is a very important city at the time, a center of the particular province, the leading city of the province of Macedonia. So they stayed there for several days. And it seems to me those days, Paul was doing now what he had learned, listening, several days. It looks as though for those days they were doing nothing but just listening, walking and listening, trying to understand, God, what are you doing? God, why did you bring us to Philippi? And then his surveys tell him that there is a place of prayer where some God-fearing women have been meeting by the river. So on the Sabbath they went there, expecting to find a place of prayer as the surveys had told them. So they then reach there, and this is a gathering of Jewish people. But as Paul always did among Jewish people, he takes the opportunity and he proclaims the good news of Jesus. The Lord opened the heart of this one particular lady. Her name is Lydia, a wealthy woman, a businesswoman who deals in textiles, from a city that had been known to be a textile center, the city of Thyatira. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Did you hear that? Who opened the heart? The Lord. Brothers, this is God's work. The Lord prepared her. The Lord brought Paul and his companions. The Lord opens her heart. This is the Lord's work. Does that release you to really be what God wants you to be? Listen, it does not depend upon you. Your job, my job, is obedience. Your job, my job, is discerning by the power of the Holy Spirit together where it is the Lord wants us to be, to go. He invites us into his purpose. The Lord opened the heart of Paul, the heart of Lydia, to respond to the gospel. And she says this to them, if you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. In the work in which I'm doing, I took lots of hours to discern, to check, to say, Lord, what is it that you want with me? It's a very new ministry, it's a new calling, it's a new engagement, seeking to proclaim the good news of justice to the world. Having concluded, together in the council of the brethren, that this was the right thing for me to do, I'll just share with you one incident which I shared during the week, which has really been amazing for me. One of the amazing experiences in this work, proclaiming the good news of justice in the name of Jesus, in a country that is distressed, in a country, and I could tell you the tragedy of our country, that is where injustice reigns, where kids do not have a future, women die in the hospitals, young people, unemployment. We have one of the highest unemployment rates in the whole world, 83% unemployment rate among the young people. Injustice, hopelessness. It's among Muslims, it's among Catholics, it's among Northerners, Southerners, Easterners. But God has called me into this place. God has invited me into this, his place, the purpose to proclaim good news of justice. I tell you, I was amazed one day. A Muslim sheikh, a Muslim imam, invited me to speak at an assembly of Muslims. They had gathered during the month of Ramadan in 2012. They gathered together 2013. And during the month of Ramadan, they have what they call Ramadan conference. This is the month of prayer and fasting. So he invited me that I may come and speak to their assembly about what it is that I was busy proclaiming in the country. Come over to us and speak to us. It was an assembly of over 600 Muslims in that place, men and women, old and young, young people from universities and others from various places. And I went boldly, and I was invited. I was putting on my clerical collar, and so very clearly I'm a bishop. But I also said very publicly, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Isa is his name, Isa. Isa is in the Quran, so I spoke. And I spoke about how it is that God puts upon all his people to demand, to seek for justice. To seek for justice is the call on us who believe in the Savior, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I was amazed. I finished speaking, and I won't tell you so much that was said after that, but the leader stood up, and he said this publicly. He said, Bishop, I have a problem. The problem I have is that I agree with you. In fact, I have even a worse problem, because the people that have listened to you, they not only agree that what you have said is what we need to hear, is what this country needs. The problem is this: they want you to come again. And they all clapped. And just in case you think that is not true, this year they invited me again. The same assembly. And I came again and I said, I come to you because I'm a follower of Jesus, Isa. And I actually say to them, as I say to some of you who are there in the week, I say to them, by the way, let me be very clear, Jesus is not a Christian. Jesus came for all of us, all of us, all of us. And I ask them to forgive Christians who have made Jesus a Christian, who have made Jesus their property. No, Jesus is for all. Then after that, I spoke about the good news of justice, justice for our land. Let me tell you this, friend. When you are led by the Spirit, when you have discerned the work of the Spirit, I can assure you this, where you go, what you do, God has gone ahead of you. He has prepared the hearts. No worries. The Lord himself will open their hearts. The Lord himself, by his Spirit, he will bring about the results that you seek. Focus not on the results. Focus not on the impact. Your focus needs to be, am I hearing God right? Am I allowing God to work in me? Let me tell you the hindrance to mission, the hindrance to seeing the impact of the gospel in this place, in his church. It is our disobedience. God is ready to change lives, but God will change lives, and that's what he's chosen to work through you. For some of you, it's simply your neighborhood. For some of you, and indeed as the church dreams of moving forward. But listen, friends, we need to be able to, in the quietness, discern what God is saying to us. And then, once we have heard, just as Paul and his companions did, loud and clear, we boldly step out. No fear. Why? Because God is ahead of us. God, this is God's work. I hope that excites you, that you are ready. Once you understand what God wants you to do, you are ready to follow through, because God has promised that he will accomplish his work through you. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? God wants to do something amazing through who? Through who? Me. Let's first say me. Through who? Me. And then through? Please hold your neighbor's hands. Just look at them. This is us. God wants to do something amazing through who? You hold each other also, please. Through who? us. Through who? Us. Us. He did it then. Amazing. Lydia was the first. Let me say to you one final thing. The logic of this is that everywhere Paul went, the first task, it seems to me, was to find a team. The reason for Lydia was that she was going to be the first team member. And you know, later, the first community of believers, where do they gather? In the home of Lydia. So as you step out, the team members that are going to be the agency that God uses in building an amazing work, whatever God has called you, is not these. These are companions that you travel with. But when you get there, God has prepared people who are going to be members of your team. And they don't look like you. They are different. When the missionaries first came to Africa, you know, the process of Bible translation, they started learning African languages and they learned these. But they realized that the work of translation was impossible just as white people. No, God had prepared for them black people, leaders. They did not know Jesus yet, but it is the process of the working together that the work of translation, the preaching of the gospel, the planting of churches. Now, the problem with history is it is recorded badly. If you read history of the proclamation of the gospel among the nations in Africa, most of these books talk about missionaries that came from either North America or Europe. And they never realized that there were people God used, who they found there. They were really the people who knew the language, the culture that God used. This Lydia opens up her home, her resources. It becomes the resources for mission. Where? Among the people in Philippi. The resources for mission are here. Hallelujah, it is you. But the resources for mission are also where? Where God invites you to work. So don't just look here. God invites you that you may be able to accomplish these things by His power, by His Spirit. Yours and mine is listening, discerning the Spirit, and obedience. That's the challenge for you and I. I would like us to pray now. To the nations, God has an idea for you and for us to participate in this amazing work. The question is, are you ready? Are you willing? Will you listen? Will you discern His purpose as a community? And then step out. In obedience. Friends, it won't happen if you do not obey. Obedience. Obedience as an individual, obedience as a community. If God has been prompting your heart to move forward, maybe it is in your neighborhood, maybe it is participating in something, I do not know. Today you want to say, yes, Lord. Like Paul did. When the man called from Macedonia, say, yes, Lord, I am ready, I am willing. What God expects of this church is to say, yes, Lord, we are willing. And so, Lord, do this to the glory of your name, for the proclamation of the good news of Jesus among the nations. Lord, we know that you want to use this church. Lord, I pray for Patrick and his leadership team. I pray, Lord, for this church to respond to the prompting of your Holy Spirit, because these, my brothers and sisters, are your instrument to bring the good news to many in Kansas, to many beyond. Help, O Lord, that there will be obedience, obedience, obedience. Amen. to greet you in the way that I learned many years ago. I'll just say, peace be with you. It's the ordinary, you know, the peace. But we learned then that what you do in response, you say hallelujah. Okay, so I'll say, peace be with you, and your response is hallelujah. And the Bible says lifting up holy hands. So I'll encourage you to lift up your hands as you say hallelujah. Peace be with you. Hallelujah. It's okay to be even louder. Peace be with you. Hallelujah. Peace be with you. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible teaches he came and declared peace to all. A shalom of the kingdom of God. And so I bring greetings to you in his name. It's been a joyful time. I mean, the Lord opened our lives into a totally new ministry. Talking about the plans of the Lord, I would never have known that I would take an early retirement. But somewhere in the fifth year of my service, I began to be very unsettled, very restless, particularly because of the mission context, Uganda, where we are. A country that has known a lot of violence, bloodshed, a country in which hope is a very scarce commodity, a country in which, I can say this to you, our youth, as Patrick said, we have one of the highest youth unemployment rates in the world, 83%. We have one of the highest pregnancy rates for teenagers in the world. An average woman in my country gets the first baby at the age of 15, 16. So it's a very, very tough context. And realizing that this is the place where God had called me, and really reading the Gospels and realizing how central justice is. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice. And how the kingdom of God is righteousness, justice, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I responded to the call of God to follow him in this amazing work. And I can tell you, I feel like a new Christian. You know, I engage with politicians, Muslims, Christians, Catholics, and but I'm seeing the Lord. I'm seeing the Lord. And so I want to praise the Lord for your support and encouragement, and especially Patrick for this time. So may I please clap for you? Will you join me? Thank you very, very much. And may the Lord bless you very much indeed. I'm really happy to be preaching here from Acts, because Acts of the Apostles is one of those amazing books. And please read it over and over. And every time I read it, there is something fresh. And today, the theme is to the nations, the good news of Jesus, to the nations. And Acts of the Apostles is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's how it all happened, to the nations. Because it's always, has always been in God's purpose and plan that the good news of Jesus, the good news of his kingdom, we proclaimed will be able to draw in all the nations. And that is why the vision that we have in the book of Revelation is that every nation, every tongue, every tribe from all the corners will be gathered before his throne, and we shall sing glory, glory. I hope you look forward to that day when all the blacks and the whites and some yellow, you know, green, I don't know, all the colors, all the colors. So it was always God's purpose. It was always God's plan that all the nations will hear his message. They'll all be drawn in. The particular passage we are going to look at is how the gospel then moved to, or the gospel was received by the people of Southern Europe. And you know, your ancestors, and then from there. And this is important. We are not just looking at a sacred text that is spiritual. It's actually history. This is how it happened. Now, the Christian faith is a historical faith. It takes history seriously. We take history seriously. Jesus was born in Bethlehem at the time of... who was the emperor of Rome? Do you remember? Caesar Augustus. Yes, it's a historical moment. It really did happen. Jesus was crucified. The time of his crucifixion is datable. It's there. You know, we take history seriously. So here we are reflecting on the time when the gospel moved, in a sense, from Palestine, from that region into Europe. How did it happen? Of course, the Acts of the Apostles is how it happened from Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So up to chapter 15 is the Judea, is the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then subsequently now we see to the ends. So Europe has one of those ends of the earth. So we'll see this in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, as was read to us. And the agency for this is Paul. Again, surprise, surprise. Of all people, Paul. And you know, I think sometimes you don't realize the kinds of people God uses. They are the wrong ones. Definitely Paul was the wrong one. What do I mean? He's the one who had been killing Christians. But he is the one God uses. So here is a footnote. Do you feel the wrong one? You are the one. You are the what? The one. This is the church. You know, blocks like me. It is me. Lord, you are awesome. You know, God uses people. So Paul and his companions, Paul, one who had persecuted the church, one who had killed Christians, is the one now proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So we see here how Paul and his companions, turn with me to that passage in your bulletin, traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Ah, did we read that correctly? That Paul and his companions were traveling in this particular region because the Holy Spirit stopped them from preaching the word. I thought that the Holy Spirit was in the business of getting people to preach the word, not getting people to stop preaching the word. But it is true, it's here. The Holy Spirit actually stopped them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They came to the border of Mysia. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So if you look at your maps, if you have a good Bible, and please invest in one that has the map, you'll see that the Holy Spirit stopped them from going southeast, and so they go towards the northeast. They hit the border of Mysia, and they really, in terms of logic, they had hoped they would now go to the northeast. And the Holy Spirit, no, don't go. Two things to say in introduction in this passage. First is that it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. Mission, gospel proclamation, is the work of the Spirit. It is God's work. Brothers and sisters, the initiative belongs to God. It's all over the scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God. And then we read in the Gospels, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It's God. And then we read, "While we were yet sinners, you and I, Christ died for us." We didn't even know we needed a Savior, but God in his goodness, God in his love, the initiative is God. The work of mission, the gospel, is the work of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Prophet Zechariah said, it's not by power, it's not by might, it is by the Holy Spirit. This is God's work. He will do it, and he does it by his Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the first place to begin. It's not the work of the church. It's only to the extent that the church is an agent of the Holy Spirit. And when churches cease to be agents of the Holy Spirit, they are useless. They are useless for the cause of the gospel. And that has happened in the history. It's the work of the Spirit. It's not about Christ Church Anglican, not at all. It's only to the extent that Christ Church Anglican is used by the Holy Spirit, allows itself to be filled and moved by the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit. But it's amazing how the Spirit works. Very unpredictable ways. So, on the one hand, as you have seen, he stops Paul from entering the province of Asia. The Bible says the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So I thought, How did Paul conclude the Holy Spirit did not want them to go to Asia? Your guess is as good as mine. We don't have the record. But I think if we are to read it in our times, I think I would like to suggest that maybe they are refused visas. But I don't think they had borders the way we have them today. But it seems to me that reading this text, there was a physical circumstance that prevented them indeed from entering Asia. And Paul and his companions concluded, this is not just a physical circumstance, God is doing this. And so, we are not going to go. We have been stopped. We can't enter. So they proceed logically. Logically, they would have entered the next province, which was Bithynia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. Bithynia is towards the north east. When they tried to enter, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Okay, how did they... Now, it's very interesting if you read the scriptures as students. Did you notice that in the first line, the reference to the Spirit is the Holy Spirit? Are you there? And then later, it's the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus. What's the difference? It's just to say that the Holy Spirit spoke in different ways. I wonder, therefore, whether, and often when the Spirit of Jesus is invoked, very often it could be the manifestation of a particular person who comes and simply delivers a message as the angel of the Spirit. Anyway, they stop. And they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. How do you think Paul and his companions feel? Look, they strategized. I want to imagine they had a strategy committee, just like you do, right? Patrick, you have a strategy for this church, and you have a committee that gathers. So a strategy. And there usually is, for good strategies, you have A, B, and usually it's option A and option B. So they had option A, which was, we are going to go to preach in the province of Asia. And it made sense. It was the next. You know, in terms of geographical logic, it made sense. But the Holy Spirit says, no, visas are denied. And Paul says, okay, anyway, thanks be to God, we had alternative B. Alternative B is the next province, the province of Bithynia. And they attempt, several attempts, and that too does not happen. So if you have a business plan, you invest in option A because you think it makes business sense. You know, you put all your energies into it and it flops. And then you try business option B and you are hopeful. You know, it all makes sense. You've been able to deal with all the weaknesses in A. Now you are ready for B. And then B collapses. How do you feel? For some of you, I think you can remember some of these things. They've really happened. This is not theory. How do you feel? Discouraged? What do I do now? And I wonder whether Paul and his companions, moving on, felt the same way. Passing by Mysia, going down to Troas, I wonder whether they said, okay, God, we tried this. God, what are you saying to us? Our strategies have collapsed. We, you know. I hope it reminds you the point I'm making. It is the Holy Spirit. It is not strategies that deliver the good news of the gospel. They are important. Don't get me wrong. Paul would never have been able to experience this if he did not plan to think this way, to get in this place. But, we must subordinate, we must subject our strategies to the Holy Spirit. So it's not by strategies. It's not by dollars. No, it's by the Holy Spirit. It's not by structures. Episcopalians got it wrong that it is by bishops and archbishops. Wrong! It's the Holy Spirit. And so, thanks be to God for sleep. Let me tell you, sleep is good. You've had a bad day. And do you ever thank God for sleep? You know, It's great. Sleep is a great transition from yesterday to tomorrow. It's great. Thanks be to God there is a tomorrow, you know, and that there is that moment of transition. So Paul goes to bed and he sleeps. And then as he is sleeping, he has this dream. And a man stands by. In this dream, there's a man who stands by and beckons him. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And it's clear. It's compelling. And Paul gets up. Have you ever had a dream and you get up and you really, really are glad it's only a dream? And you're just thinking, oh no, it's just as where I was sleeping. This is not for real. But have you also had a dream and you really hope it is going to happen? You hope it's not just a dream, it's for real. As we say in my country, it's for real. Yeah? It's serious. And I wonder whether Paul in that moment thought, okay, is God speaking? Is God speaking? And so I think the next day, I don't know whether he waited for his colleagues to wake up or whether he just went up and got them up and said, guys, I had a dream. I don't make sense of it. What am I supposed to think? Is God saying something to us? And so they sit together with the companions. I wonder whether they say, okay, let's pray. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus about this. And actually, I believe this is what happened. This one, I'm fairly sure it's what happened. That Paul gathered with his friends. Why do I say this? Because if you read in the passage, verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding, it simply suggests that they sat, they talked, they compared notes, and they said, oh yeah, I think God is speaking to us. They concluded, ready to go. So here is the task, my brothers and sisters. That since it's not just by strategy, it is by the Spirit himself. The first task of yours and mine, followers of Jesus, is to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm fairly sure God is saying something to you, Christ Church, Anglican. I am fairly sure about this. In the middle of the week, that was the message. Listen to the Spirit. What is God saying to you? And Patrick, I'm really amazed that this month, November, you're going to focus on prayer. It's an opportunity for you to listen. To listen, to draw all the resources of the Spirit. Listen. But you need to listen together. Do you notice how Paul listens with others? He doesn't come and say, thus says the Lord, we shall know. He comes back and he says, is God speaking to us? And they conclude together. So that this is the work of the community. It's not a person. God works through his people together. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Brothers and sisters, there is a way in which God is present to us by his Spirit when we are together, when we gather as a community, a way in which he is not when you are just by yourself. Take seriously the community of believers. Now, this is challenging for Western society because your society is so individualistic. And sometimes I actually wonder, you know, looking at your songs, the songs you sing, even when we gather together, we are singing, I, my Lord, I thank you. When shall we learn the we together? Let's embrace we. We need each other to hear together the voice of the Spirit, to hear together what God prompts us to do. What does he say? He says, come over to Macedonia. It is an invitation. Come over. Now, this is very significant. It's a paradigm. It's thinking differently. You know, the paradigm of Christian mission hitherto has been go. And it's picked from the Great Commission, as it's come to be known. Therefore, go into all the world, preach the good news. You know the passage, don't you? Where is it? Matthew? No, please, not Pastor you, but these ones. Eh? I want to check that when you preach, they are listening. Matthew 20, 25, did you say? No, I don't think it's Matthew 25. 28, yes. Go ye into all the world. And we actually think that the paradigm of mission is go, 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 go. Now, first of all, the translation of that we've now learned is not go, it is as you go. It is as you go. But here, what Paul really comes to conclusion is what the Holy Spirit is doing is come. It's an invitation. And I have been thinking, hey, what about thinking mission as invitation? And it is, because God is inviting us into his thing, because it's him who will do it. Come over to Macedonia. What else is he saying? That God is in Macedonia. God is already there in Europe. And so he says, come over. Come. The missionaries got it wrong. Some, not all of them. Who wrote and said, writing in stories back to the churches here, we took Jesus to Africa. No, Jesus brought them to Africa because he was there. The invitation, praise the Lord that as a church you are seeking to hear, where is God inviting us to? Kansas City, beyond, beyond, because God is at work in these places. After Paul had seen the vision, listening, what did he do? Obedience. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia because we knew this is God's call upon us. Obedience. Obedience. Let me tell you, nothing happens unless we obey. I don't know why God has predicated his purposes to our obedience, mine and you. He takes us seriously. Obedience. He takes this church seriously. Obedience. Will you obey him when God calls you? When you hear the message and you understand it, will you obey him? And this, by the way, is not just as a church. It's also true for you as an individual. God has spoken. Are you obedient? Paul did with his companions. So from Troas, they set out boldly. But remember, they are going to the unknown. Remember, this was not in their strategy. This was not in their plan. Are you ready for surprises from God? You know, when I became a bishop in Kampala, Patrick, and I started thinking, no, there are some people who have been here too long. There are some things we've been doing the same way. And so we used to do Mission Emphasis Weeks was by, we do something in church and invite people and we use public, you know, advertising. And I say, no, we must stop this. When we have a Mission Emphasis Week, we shall not do anything in the church. We shall go out. We will go out. And so things, you know, so the people were very unhappy. They said, Bishop Zach is killing missions here, you know. Because he is telling us that things will not happen in church. They're going to have to happen elsewhere. And so they had a meeting with Archbishop Henry. You remember our dear friend, Archbishop Henry? So they accused me to him. They said, Bishop Zach is creating problems for us. He's killing mission. So we had this meeting with Archbishop Henry. And one of them said, and Your Grace, it is so serious, people are leaving church. It is so serious, people are leaving. So when they asked me to respond, I said, Your Grace, what I'm very clear is that God did not call me to keep people in church. That's not the call of God on my life. The call of God on my life is to proclaim Jesus, is to show Jesus, is to reflect Jesus. If some people have overstayed, they must go. Let them go. It's great. Let them go. Maybe they will meet Jesus where they go because the church has become a problem for them. Jesus, this is about... So... This is new. So God may be wanting to do something fresh, something new, but you are stuck to what you know, to your logic. Are you open? Are you listening? Will you obey? Paul goes. So they travel to Philippi, a Roman colony, a very significant city, a very important city in this province. And they stayed there several days. That too is important. Do you see the logic of Paul's ministry? He gets into a city. He doesn't immediately go and shout. No. He surveys. He wants to listen. He wants to see. Those of you who are here in the week, he did exactly the same thing in Athens. He takes time, he finds there are. So even now, he spends some days. And then his research shows him there must be a group of God-fearing women that meet regularly by the river. So he goes there. He finds them. And as always, Paul's message, the one that God had given to him, is Jesus. So he talks about Jesus. And what's amazing is the Lord, verse 14, opened the hearts of those who are listening to him. One of them, Lydia, a very wealthy businesswoman who was known, renowned for her textile work, and her city, Thyatira, was known to be a textile center. So she's clearly renowned. And what do we hear? The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Who opened her heart? Is it Paul? Is it Paul's logic? No, Paul proclaims Jesus. And the Lord opens Lydia's heart. I think Paul is amazed that it happened so quickly. And Lydia does even more. She says, if you consider me to be a believer, I want to be part of this thing. Come. You know the first meeting place in Philippi was where? Lydia's house. Lydia puts the resources, all her resources, to the work of the gospel. She surrenders it to Jesus, makes them available. Here is the good news. When you and I obey, we follow what God wants us to do. Let me tell you, the results will happen. The results will happen. The results are God's business. Don't be too preoccupied with the impact. No, focus on obedience. For when you obey, God will surely do it. He will surprise you. Obedience. You know, when I took another retirement, I agree with those who thought I was stupid, because I also, at some stage, I thought, you're a bishop, you know, things are going very well. Honestly, they were going very well. Isn't that true? I mean, is there any reason to think things were going bad for me? But I thought, no, the Lord prompted me. And let me tell you, friends, I have been surprised the places where God is at work on this whole journey of justice. I told you the story in the week, how I was surprised when a man who has become a dear friend, you know, a Muslim imam, together with a Muslim group that have decided we'll be together on this for the work of justice in the country. So they invited me in 2013 to speak at a Muslim assembly during the month of Ramadan, which is the fasting month. This group of, it's called the Uganda Muslim Youth Assembly. They have conferences in which they invite various people. They focus on their faith, but they also invite people to come and speak to them. And they invited me to be one of their main speakers. There were about 600 of them, men, women. It was amazing. And I came, I was putting on my clerical collar, and I say to them, I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the name of Isa, because Isa is in the Quran. But I say to him, Jesus who came, he came to proclaim justice to the nations. You know that passage? Matthew chapter 12, he came to proclaim justice. And so we started to speak about the issues of justice in the land and how it is God is unhappy. And I was honestly amazed. And the audience, now, lots of things happened. But I can never forget, at the end, after I had finished, the leader stood up and he said, Bishop, I have a problem. I have a problem with you. Because actually, I wish I could disagree with you. But the problem is I agree with everything you've said. And he said, Bishop, there's even a more serious problem, is that these people you have spoken to, they actually not only agree, they want you to come back to speak to them. And they all clapped thunderous applause. And I thought, wow. Let me tell you, friends, when you obey, you have no reason to fear. God himself will do it. He will do it. He will bring transformation. He will cause the impact. In fact, surprise, surprise, 2 years later, this year, they invited me to speak again to the group. When I came back, the man said, you know, as I promised you, we have brought Bishop Zach back. And they all very, and then we talked about justice in our country. Now, we have a difficult challenge in my country. I've already told you how too many women are dying because our medical services don't function. 20 women every day. And how young are they? They are 16, 17, because the dropout rates in our school system are terrible. These are things that must change. These are things God is not happy about. Jesus came to proclaim good news of justice. What is really amazing to me is the people on my team are the most unlikely. Now, friends, it's amazing that everywhere God is going to do a work, he raises a team. And that team, did you notice, is not just Paul and his companions. Lydia becomes the first member of the team. Lydia puts the resources. So some of you are worried, if the Lord sends us here, where will the money come from? You think it is going to come from here? No! The places where God sends us, he will raise a team. There will be people. Why? Because this is God's work. When the missionaries first came to Africa, daunting task. What were they to do? The scriptures didn't exist in our mother tongues. What did the missionaries, so they started learning the language, and they thought they would be the ones to translate it from English or the other languages into our mother tongue. Surprise, surprise, God raised Africans who became the translators together with them. Now, sadly, of course, history books often miss out the Africans, and they say it's missionaries who translated the Bible from English to the vernaculars. No, that's not true. They are not the only ones. It's a partnership. So God will raise fellow partners in this work to achieve God's work. So be bold. What's the message to you as a church? First of all, you need to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit that you may be able to hear him. What he says to you at this time as a church, at this time, listen, and then obey. That I say for a church, that we must say for an individual. Have you been hearing God? It is actually possible that for some of you, this sounds like, does God speak? Yes, he does. Are you listening to him when he speaks? Notice how Paul found it very difficult because he had locked himself into a particular way of God speaking. Then God amazed him. He spoke through a dream. Yes, God, my brothers and sisters, speaks. Listen. Secondly, when you hear him, obey. Obey. Leave the results to God. God will surely do it. Why? Because God is already doing work, his work, for the glory of his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. You challenge us, Lord. You challenge us, Lord, to be part of what you are doing. What a privilege is ours that you should speak to us. You should involve us. You have determined that the kingdom that is yours, we are participants. And that together with you, we make it happen. We make it happen here in Kansas, in Uganda, wherever, Lord, to the nations. Lord, what an amazing story that because Paul was faithful, the gospel reached Europe. The gospel reached America. The gospel reached Africa. Hallelujah. Lord, help this church to be faithful, to hear you and to obey you. Help each one of us, Lord, to hear you and to obey you. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.